Good morning. Morning.
Welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and I'm so glad to have us here in God's house. So glad we can gather. So glad that we come together wherever we are, knowing that we have our online viewers with us, joining us from afar, those who are enjoying perhaps a day on the lake. I'm glad you can join us for this morning, at least. I'm glad we can be here, that we can worship together. I have just a couple quick announcements, and then Nathan has one as well. The first, Gail Vitale asked me to let the ladies of Romeo UMC know that there is a trip planned for July 22nd to visit Belle Isle and Puebic Pottery. I don't know if I'm saying that right, Gail. Puebic Pottery in Detroit. There's a information sheet and a sign-up downstairs if you want to get a little more info about that. But you can sign up or get a hold of Gail, and she'll let you know what's going on with that. And also, Sandy, let me know that our sign-up sheet for the Simpson Park meal that we'll be having during their camp meetings this year is down there as well if you want to come over and join us for dinner that night. We'll have a meal together, and then we can all go to the worship service that will be held that evening together. It's a great time down there at the park. I've been over there a couple times this spring as they're getting ready, and they're going to have a lot of people there, and I hope you can join us for that evening for the time we'll have. And those are the announcements I had, but Nathan asked me for just a minute here to share.
We have two. Everyone probably wants to know about the fire, of course. We did have a fire, I think it was Thursday morning at 2 a.m. One of the, down below where the elevator's at, the emergency lights, they're assuming it was the batteries. I guess lithium batteries can explode or catch fire. So fortunately, they have a key. They came and took care of it. The fire put itself out. So they just dragged the rug out, which I had to throw away because it was had melted plastic on it. So hopefully we'll be able to go through and replace all the batteries, and also it doesn't happen again. The elevator is, I always like to think of the new building as the new building, but it's almost 20 years old. And the elevator, which has been very good to us over the years, has gotten to a point where it's going to need some extensive work. There are boards, electronic boards, that they'll have to go through. The nice thing is that they do have a program. It's called 211. And it's for situations like this that, you know, it's going to take a lot of time. It'd be very expensive to pay the regular hourly rate that the technicians they have to do the job. So they bring in retired technicians that do it at a nominal rate, and it's a very nice thing. I mean, it's helped a lot of churches, and so that's probably the route we're going to go. We don't know how long it's going to take. So the good thing is we still have our secondary elevator. And I stood over there to greet folks this morning because I think they should be greeted. If they can't use this elevator, they need to be greeted just like everyone else. So those are the two issues. And just keep in mind that the letter that you received recently, it's just became a little more intensified, if you know what I mean. And just keep that in mind as we give to the Lord. Thanks.
Thank you, Nathan. And thank you for all your work on the elevator and the extra cleanup that came as you may have come in the doors this morning and noticed. Yes, sir.
I forgot to mention. And it was a lot of work. The cleanup, there was everywhere. I took care of the floors, and the ladies, I called on Becky because she's always calling on me. But they did. They came in. They were doing a meal for Turning Point anyways, and then after that, they all got together and cleaned, and I looked over, and they did a very good job because it was a mess. So thank you, ladies.
Well, I hadn't heard that part. So thank you to everyone who chipped in a little bit to help with that. And to Judy and Craig, they know they got the late night call in the middle of the morning. They were one of the call listed. So we're thankful that it wasn't worse. What's down there is bad enough. But I said at the beginning, I'm glad to be here to worship. That kind of took on a new meaning for me this week as I got that text that it wasn't a bigger issue.
Oh, I have one more thing.
Uh-oh. I'm just going to let him go to that.
We got to have a joy, you know.
I'll take the joy.
It was had to do with yesterday's antique fest or the festival that Romeo had in town, Vintage Fest. It was put on very well. I work at the Town Hall Antiques part-time, and they needed me that day because they had a live auction, which was very interesting. It was online and there, and I came in, and Eddie and Laura Zaglin were there, and Dave came a little bit later. They were there from 9:30 until like 4:40 because Eddie really wanted this antique cash register. And I think there were some moves maybe made behind the scenes too as well, but he won the cash register. It's beautiful. I mean, as we were walking it down the hallway to take it to the car, people were like, oh my gosh, look at that thing. And they got a good deal on it. He's happy. And it was just a great day for everyone. And a pastor can share with on that too.
Thank you, Nathan. I would agree. It was a great day downtown. I had a few people mention it this morning. I told someone as we came in that I literally went to get my daughter out of bed this morning. And the first thing she said to me was, we go back downtown and dance? That's all she wanted to do, was go back and dance some more. And it was a great time. And I'm glad to hear Eddie had success in his searches at the auction. It is great to have those community events that we can be a part of, that we can have in this community, because it is a wonderful community. It's a community that takes care of each other, that can gather for fun times. We're thankful for that. And I say thank you to Nathan for his help with that, for all who participated in that yesterday. Thank you. And we're here to participate in something else as a community. We're here to participate in worship. And it's a great privilege to be able to lead you in this time. It's a great privilege to be able to be a part of this congregation that continues to lift me up, that continues to support me, that continues to support one another, the stories I continue to hear. There's those circumstances that I don't know about, those people that I don't hear about, hospital visits or things. But then when I do end up hearing about it, it's like, oh, we had so many people, we didn't need you, Pastor. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. Even if you put me out of a job, that's a great thing. That's people taking care of people. That's what the church is about, and that's why I love this place. So thank you to everyone for being a part of this community, a part of this congregation. And let us do what we're here to do. Let us worship. Let us give thanks. Let us praise our God. I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we sing our opening hymn today. We're going to sing number 428, For the Healing of the Nations. Join me in prayer. God of prophets, you call all of us to be like the prophets of old. Like shepherds with their sheep, you guide us in the direction you wish us to go. You make clear the path of goodness and righteousness. You set a plumb line for us to follow. Lord, you have given us the example, guiding us toward the way. May we be aware of your presence in our hearts today as we use this time to prepare us for the journey that is to come. We pray this in your mighty and powerful name, O Holy Lord, today and forever. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for this morning is going to come from the Psalms. It's Psalm 25. We'll hear verses 1 through 10. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. This ends our first reading for today. And our special music is I Want to Know You. I see Laura has the guitar up, which I'm counting as a blessing that she's going to grace us with here today. So we welcome our singers, and I invite you to enjoy I Want to Know You.
I want to know.
Thank you, Cynthia and Glenn and Laura, for blessing us with that this morning. At this time, I'd like to invite any of the children or students or youth who'd like to come forward to join me on the steps for our time with children. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing this morning? Good? I'm glad to see you guys here. I do want you to be loud. You can tell me how good you are all the time. Okay? Okay. I just don't want you to be loud at home. All right, that's another story. So today, I have a question for you guys, though. I have something in my hand, and I'm hoping you guys can help me read it. And you can't, because you already know it. All right. So, I have something, and I'm hoping you can read the letters. There are these black letters written on here. Can you read this for me? Can you see what that says? Can you read those? Let me put it up here. I know it's a little small. Maybe some of them out there can see it. It says what? Jesus. I'm trying to read the black letters. You see Jesus?
Don't look at the black.
Oh. Hold it up a little bit, a little farther away. It's a little easier to see when it moves farther away from you. Yeah? Yeah, it's actually really neat. Someone gave me this, and I'm not going to lie. When they gave it to me, they really cheated, because they handed it to me upside down. And that was really hard to figure out what the heck I was looking at. But then I turned it over, and I still looked at it, and I was looking, and I was doing that. I was trying to read the black letters, trying to read what was carved into it. And I thought it was maybe some other language or some symbols or something that was carved. I couldn't figure out what it was. But then finally, someone told me to read the wooden parts, not the black parts, the wooden parts. And when I started doing that, I could see the J-E-S-U-S for Jesus. And I have this, they gave this to me. This was actually a gift they gave me. And it sits on my shelf behind me in my office there. And I like having it there. And I like it because it's reminded me that, well, one, Jesus is everywhere. But sometimes Jesus is hard to see. Maybe we're looking and we're seeing things a little upside down and we can't quite see where Jesus is at. Or maybe we're looking at it the right way up, but we're still looking at the wrong parts. We're looking in the gaps. We're not looking at where Jesus really is in the world. And so that's my reminder for you guys. And I'm going to play a few tricks on the congregation a little later in my sermon too to see if they can figure things out. But this is just one of them that I have in my office that helps me be reminded to look for Jesus when I'm out in the world, when I have a tough day, to look for where Jesus is at. So that's my reminder for you guys. Look for those people who are helpers, those people who are being kind, those people who are sharing a little bit of Jesus love with us. And then I'm also going to encourage you to be those people every once in a while. Hold the door open, wave, smile, be kind, help someone out. Do those things because that's where people see Jesus in the world. Even if they're not looking, they'll see Jesus in those actions. All right? Can you guys do that with me? All right. Well, I'm going to say a prayer for you before you guys head back to Odyssey for fun back there, but let's pray. Dear Jesus, I do give you thanks for these boys and girls. Lord, I give you thanks for them because I see you in them. I see the heart of Jesus in their smiles. I see the heart of Jesus in their shouts of joy. I see them even in their tears, Lord. I know you are there with them because you are never far from us. You are always here. And so I give thanks to have them in our worship. I give thanks that we can take this time to talk a little about you, Lord. And I pray that as I go back that we all continue to learn. We all have much we can learn. Even if we've heard the scripture, even if we've heard the story before, there's always more for us to learn. So that's my hope, that we can gather here, we can learn about you, but then we can take you, Lord. We can take your love out into the world. Jesus, we love you. We pray today, as always, in your holy name. Amen. Well, thanks for coming up, guys. Oh, the Rossos are there with you. They're going to take you back for Odyssey. So have fun back there, all right? If you want to try it out after service, I'll have it up here. You can come see if you can see the words. I mentioned at the beginning of service that sometimes there's those needs or those concerns that I don't hear about right away. I don't hear about them because others are already stepping in to act. And I do think that's an awesome thing. But I also think it's good for us to acknowledge them, to lift them up in prayer when those needs exist. And the first one I have on my list today is one of those. Dave Lee is with us here today. I saw him come in. Where's Dave at? Dave, I hadn't heard, but he had spent a little time in the hospital just last week, or 2 weeks ago now, I guess. And by the time I called, he was already home. He was in the shower, actually. Sorry, Dave. I'm spilling your dirty secrets here. But I was able to talk with Bev, and they shared with me that he was doing well. He just had a few struggles there, but we're going to continue to keep you in our prayers, Dave, and for your continued health and strength as we go forward. Also on the way in this morning, Judy shared with me that her brother Jim had a stroke this past Thursday and is currently in the ICU up in the Saginaw Midland area. They don't have a whole lot of answers at this point, but continued prayers for Jim as he continues to receive treatment and heal and move forward. So prayers for Judy and the whole family as they support Jim. And those were the only ones I had shared with me, other than I do see Sue is sitting here with us this morning. We've been praying for Sue as she had her procedure, and it's good to see her up and around and smiling. It's so good. And there was someone else who came in this morning. I'm sorry. I know there was another that I hadn't seen for some time.
Linda.
Oh, Linda's here.
Yes.
Thank you. I knew I had a couple that I hadn't seen for a few weeks. Linda's with us this morning as well. So good to have her up and about and moving, and continued healing for all of you as you recover from your various procedures and needs. We continue to pray for you. Nathan does, of course, have the microphone there. If you have anything you'd like to lift up, please wave a hand at him and he'll bring it to you.
Well, first one is a praise. My father-in-law, Roy, has been here and he has to go back this week. Hate to say goodbye, but it's been a blessing after 4 years of not being able to visit due to all the life changes that we've all experienced. So prayers of thanksgiving and prayers for safe travel back home.
Absolutely. So glad you've been able to join us, Roy, but safe travels as you head back home. Oh, Nathan, that's right in front of you there.
Sorry.
Just didn't want you to get too far away.
Good call.
I ask prayers for my wife, Amy, whose physical health continues to decline.
Pray for Amy and her needs in the days ahead, then.
I'd like prayers for my niece, who is driving by herself back to Cornell today, which is a 5 or 6 hour drive.
Traveling mercies for your niece as she makes her way back to Cornell, absolutely.
Her name's Elise.
Elise. Traveling mercies for Elise as she travels today. Thank you.
Being July 10th, I'd like us to remember this young lady who, from Tanzania. She is my Compassion International child, and I picked her because we have something in common, and that is that we have the same birthday, and that's how I came to know her. I pulled up in front of my grandson's house one morning, and here she was, not her, but they were asking for a supporter for her, and that was 5 years ago. So today she's 15 years old, and this little picture, of course you can't see it, but is of her. She doesn't look like an American 15-year-old, but, you know, we all know that she's loved by the Lord and that the Lord remembers her each day. And Compassion International is one of those great programs that helps children around the world. And they ask on the card to pray for her spiritual development, her life-saving friendships, and the spirit of joy and hope. So for this young lady, Fausta, so far away, I just like to have you remember her in prayer. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. That's a wonderful tribute to a friendship that has formed by the most unusual means, but so wonderfully you can support her and have that common link.
My young bride's birthday is tomorrow.
Do you think we can get her to play the organ so we can sing to her, or is she going to silence us?
Yeah, let's
sing. We can sing to Jenny and Cynthia.
There you go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jenny and Cynthia. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, and help you get spoiled and then enjoy your day.
Jim and Pat Morgan's their anniversary is tomorrow, and it's going to be 63.
Jim and Pat are celebrating 63 years of marriage.
Joshua, our camera kid up there, earned his permit. So congratulations to him, and pray for me.
Amen.
Prayers for my brother, Bill. He went in the hospital 2.5 weeks ago with encephalitis, and then he got sepsis and UTI, and so he's finally coming around. He was mute and can't walk, but he is getting his voice back. So long, long road for him.
Yes. Continue prayers for Bill in the days ahead, then.
I just want to announce that my daughter Nancy and Dan, this is their 40th anniversary.
Well, another anniversary to celebrate.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to personally thank everyone in my church family here that has said a prayer for me or made telephone calls or sent a card during my vacation, let's say. I'm doing very well. Thank you again. I love you all.
Thank you, Linda.
I have a joy this morning. I want to thank everyone that contributed to our meal for Turning Point that we delivered on Friday. We were able to take two large trays of pasta salad. We purchased subs from Jimmy John's. We had two nice sized boxes and lots of desserts. So, and they're very appreciative, and I am very thankful to the ladies that came in and helped, and for everyone that donated items or money. We had a little bit of money left over, so we're going to put it to our next meal for Turning Point. So, but I just want to thank everybody.
Thank you, Becky, and thank you to everyone who did participate and make that meal possible. Are there any others this morning? We've heard the joys, those that we celebrate, and we've heard the concerns and the needs that have been lifted here today. And we are a people of prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. We know the power of prayer. And so I invite you to take this time. I invite you to take time every day, but right here, right now, I invite you to take this time and spend a minute with the Holy One. Spend a minute in silent prayer, lifting up those needs, something we've heard or something else that you know of in this world. Let us have this moment of silence with our Lord. God of mercy, we confess today that we, like the prophet Amos, we struggle at times to accept our call to be prophetic. We have any number of excuses for why you shouldn't use us. We feel afraid to speak truth to power, to speak of humility to egotistical systems. So today, Almighty Lord, when we feel ill-prepared, grant us your assurance. When we feel unworthy, remind us, Lord, that we are created in the very image of God, that image resides in each of us. When we struggle to know what words to speak, what moves to make, keep us in sync with your Holy Spirit. that we may let it guide all that we do. Lord, give us courage to be prophets in a world where more grace, more peace, and more love are desperately needed. Lord, you've heard of some of the specific needs that have been lifted here today. We pray to you for our brothers and sisters who at this very moment find themselves in places of pain and fear and suffering. Lord, we pray that you send your Spirit to wash over them and rejuvenate them with a hope that only you can offer. Help all of us to receive those instructions, to hear your words, to see you at work in this world. Help us to be your chosen people, people of hope, people of love, people of prayer. We ask this all as we join our voices together in this prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand with me again as you're able for our next hymn. It's number 496, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We do take this moment each and every week to recognize our collected offering and the tithes that are brought here today. We've heard of much of what we do as a church during this service, and we know of those missions that we support, those ministries we're a part of, and it's only possible because of the faithfulness of so many. And I am eternally grateful for that. I'm grateful that we can be in mission and ministry, that we can give to those places here in our community. We can support those ministries in our state, our country, and around the world. that we can be the hands and feet of Christ. And I thank all of you for being a part of that. Of course, our giving options are available right now through our box here on the organ, or you can give online at romeoumc.com in the e-giving link there. I offer my thanks, and I want us to offer this word of prayer for the collection brought here today. Holy God, you are the source of all good things. We ask that the gifts we offer to you this day would be dedicated to bringing your kingdom of love, justice, and compassion. Bring it into our midst. We acknowledge that it's easy when the service is over to walk out putting blinders back on, keeping our focus on what's right in front of us, not seeing all that's around. Lord, help us to see both the beauty of your caring, but also the ugliness of our indifference in the world around us. Help us to see with eyes like you, Lord, to see the Holy One living in each and every person we encounter. Lord, use these gifts that your name may be lifted high above all other names, we pray. Amen. Our second scripture reading for this morning is going to take us to the book of Amos. It's Amos chapter 7. We'll hear verses 7 through 17. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, came to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile, away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, earn your bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people, Israel. Excuse me. Now, therefore, got a frog in my throat. Excuse me. Now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be parceled out by line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Guess I'm just hoping my voice holds out here this morning. How many of you remember way back to 2015? It was the early part of 2015. More specifically, you remember the hot topic issue that came to the forefront in 2015. February of 2015, to be precise. This issue, it saw families in heated discussions around the dinner table. The issue had co-workers meeting at the water coolers to discuss it. It was everywhere. And I realize this was 7 years ago, so maybe you don't clearly recall the specifics. But when it hit, it was the debate. It's what took all the airtime. It was talked about far and wide. It went viral across the internet, jumped onto news broadcasts. It was covered by every channel, every station, every broadcast had to have their say. And there was nowhere near a consensus agreement. It was a truly debated issue. Does anyone remember what that earth-shattering issue was from 7 years ago? Go ahead, Dave, put that up there. Maybe it'll help them out a little bit. Is the dress white and gold, or is it black and blue? You remember that? Remember that? It was an insane craze that swept people up. Some swearing it was white and gold, while the person right over their shoulder swearing it was black and blue. Even today, I bet we have people falling on both sides. Team white and gold, are you out there? Who sees white and gold? All right. How about the black and blues? We got some black and blues too. I don't get it. I really don't. But at the end of the day, the phenomenon as it swept the country, what was it asking? It was really asking, what do you see? What do you see? It's a question that can be asked about a number of things in our world, not just a little debate about a cocktail dress. What do you see out your window? What do you see in your community? What do you see in our country? Do you see success and joy and happiness and contentment? Do you see pain and suffering and division and strife? What do you see? Perhaps that's why it's such a difficult question when we have it asked. Because like the picture of that dress, there isn't always one clear, cut and dry answer. What do we see? We see the good. We see the bad. We see the joy. We see the hurt. We see it all. But what are we supposed to do with all that we see? This week, we continue this profit margin series that we started last week. We meet up with another prophet of the Old Testament. We just heard his scripture read. We caught up with the prophet Amos. And we're actually going to be traveling with him for the next 2 weeks, this week and next. And we're going to continue to take a little deeper look at our faith, at God's call for God's people. And Amos is known as one of the 12 minor prophets in the Bible. But this minor distinction does not minimize his or any of the other prophets' importance. They're solely identified as such because their books tend to be a little bit shorter. They're not the longer books written by some of the other prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel. So while we've always listed Amos as a minor prophet, I don't believe that's how God viewed him at all. Amos would have actually been a second career prophet, as we heard in the scripture. He never thought he would find himself sharing a prophetic word with the people of Israel. We're told that he'd worked as a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees for some time. He likely was living a rather modest life, doing his work, living within his means, doing what he thought he was supposed to do. But then, as these things often happen, God came calling. And a life's journey of herding sheep and tending to the sycamore trees, it suddenly took a significant detour. And we're going to get into that a little bit more next week, but when I say that Amos had a reputation for being a little doom and gloom in his prophecy, well, I might be underselling it. Because that was what Amos preached. That's what Amos knew, what Amos was told to tell the people. The messages he shared did not do a lot to endear him to those who heard them. I mean, let's face it. Telling people that their wives would become prostitutes, that their sons and daughters would fall by the sword, that their land shall be divided among others, that the entire nation would be sent into exile. It isn't too hard to see why Amos didn't have a whole lot of invitations to Shabbat dinners or other celebrations. He wasn't exactly a cheery presence to have around the table. But again, I will say, when God comes calling, it doesn't mean that things are suddenly going to get, they're suddenly going to be sunshine and roses. There's no promise of that. God never told us that. There are often difficult things that we're called to be a part of. And that was certainly Amos's case. And in today's scripture, God sent a vision, put it before Amos, and then a simple question came. Amos, what do you see? What do you see? Now, I'll admit that to the best of my knowledge, God has never put a prophetic vision right before me, one that I'm aware of at least. Or if God sent it, maybe I just missed it. I don't know. But as I thought about this week, if this happened to me this week, I realized, doesn't that have to be one of the most high-pressure situations you could find yourself in? God sending a prophetic vision before you and then saying, hey, tell me about this. What do you see before you? I mean, I used to try to hide behind the student in front of me so that the teacher couldn't see me, because I can't call on you if they can't see you, right? But here's Amos. He sent a prophetic vision by God. And then God calls his name and says, what do you see? What if he got it wrong? What if Amos didn't see what God wanted him to see? What if he messed this whole thing up? Perhaps he wouldn't even be listed as a minor prophet at that point. I don't know what goes below that. We might not know his name at all. It just all seems like a lot of pressure to me as I read it. And I don't know, maybe it's just my own personal insecurities, my perfectionist side coming out. Because as we read it, at least as it's told to us in the scriptures, Amos doesn't even seem to hesitate. He straight up tells the Lord what he has seen, what has been put before him. And he obviously was a skilled observer because the Lord affirms his answer. Not only does God affirm Amos's vision, what Amos has seen, but he also warns Amos that this is what is coming for the people, for those who have drifted away. And as I said before, it was not a pretty picture that God painted. And this is where I'm certain, absolutely positive, that Amos deserves to be known as more than just a minor prophet. Because he takes God's word. He takes God's instructions. He takes God's warnings. And he takes them straight to the people. He doesn't just take them to the people on the fringes of town and the villages. He takes them straight to the temple and to the priests. He takes them to the king's doorstep, to the king himself, to warn of what is to come. Remember when I mentioned that Amos was a herdsman and a pruner of sycamore trees? Well, that was a pretty peaceful life that Amos had. But all that went quickly out the window as he started these proclamations, as these declarations were made. With these prophetic words, he was all but thrown. All that peaceful life right out the window. Because as we read it, he quickly became public enemy number one. And well, these days, we sadly expect it to be a part of most political campaigns. Amos, I don't think he was prepared for what came his way. Because his name was smeared, we're told, from one side of Judah to the other side of Israel. Those people in power, those who had the most to lose, they made sure that everyone who heard Amos's name, that they would instantly dismiss him as a heretic. That he didn't know what he was talking about. They were the people who had a clear understanding of God's will. Amos was dragged through the mud. Yet Amos didn't stop. Amos was confident in who he was, confident in what God had called him to do, confident in what God had told him to teach. And he continued to make bold moves, continued to boldly preach and speak truth to power as God had shown it to him. Yeah, Amos went into the temple itself and warned them of the plumb line God was putting in their midst, that God was comparing the people of Israel to. He called out the idol worshippers. He called out those who likely looked quite crooked when standing next to the plumb line that God held. And at the end of the day, none of this endeared Amos to the people. None of this saw him gaining wealth or status or power. None of what Amos was called to do was easy. Yet Amos did it anyway. Amos did it because he was called to it. And as we look at Amos' story, it brings us back around to that question I've asked multiple times already today. What do you see? What do you see? God asked it of Amos. I'm asking us today, what do you see? I hope that as you think about this today, or during the week to come, wherever you may be, I hope that some of what you see out there, I hope it will be the good in this world. It will be the joy, the happiness. It will be Christ at work in this world. I hope you see that in your daily lives. But we would also be naive to think that all we will see out in this world is good. Because we live in a broken, fallen world. A world full of anger and bitterness. A world full of inequality. A world that those that are in power will do anything to keep at the status quo. They will do anything to keep that power. And the question that we have to ask ourselves, as God asks us, what do you see? The question we have to ask is this. Are we bold enough to proclaim to a broken world, to a bitter and angry world, that God is still very present? That God is still holding that plumb line to compare us to? What do you see? My friends, I had the blessing of spending some time this week reflecting on that very question. And I was blessed to be able to do so as I spent time with my family. And we were surrounded by more amazing family members as I did it. I was able to celebrate and offer thanks to God for the privilege I have to be on this journey with each of them. It was a good week. I saw the good in the world this week. I'm thankful for that. But as I stand here today, I am also fully aware that not every week is going to be a good week. In my personal life, my professional life, in our church, in our country, in our world, there will be, there are struggles and challenges to be faced. And the question this text asks us to consider is, will we be able to endure the attacks that will come? When we speak truth, when we speak God's truth into this world, attacks will come. Evil will still come for us. There's no doubt about it. And are we, like Amos, able to answer God's call to engage in the prophetic work needed that our world still needs to hear? Maybe you have had those times when you wonder, can I really make a difference? Maybe you bought into the narrative that you have to be a major prophet to make a difference in this world. Well, my friends, we just have walked with Amos for a little while today. A man that may not have written lengthy volumes like some of his contemporaries. A man that is forever found on the minor prophet list in our Bibles. But my friends, he is also a man who spoke God's truth. A man who was willing to talk the talk and walk the walk. Amos was a man who walked with God. And I pray that as we continue our journey in the weeks ahead, that we may be strengthened, we may be encouraged by those prophetic words of those who have come before us. I pray that when the time comes, when the question comes, that we may see the world with the eyes of our Lord and Savior, that we may see grace and compassion and forgiveness, that we may see where there is need in this world, and that we may respond, as God has called us to. May we speak with a prophetic voice. May we see now and forever that God is glorified, that God's name is lifted high. Let it be so. Amen.
So if you're able to stand for our last song, let's all stand.
Eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you higher lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Thank you, Jesus. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open them that we might see you here and now. You are holy, 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 Lord. Touch our souls that we might see a fraction of your peace, your hope, your love, that we might see it and share it with those we encounter. Send us your blessing this day, we pray. Amen.